Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
Sometimes telling a good story is a lot better than piling on a bunch of statistics. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is June 12th, 2013. And we've got a speed review for you on pages 24 and 25 in your Advanced magazine. The title is Tell Your Tale to Get Others Energized. And I had opened up the program saying that sometimes it's better to be able to tell a good story than piling on a bunch of statistics, because I think we've all been in presentations where we get too much information and we get overwhelmed, or we just tune out, become bored, and don't pay attention anymore because the speaker has lost our interest. Well, this speed review is going to help us understand maybe a technique that you don't want to use all the time, but can be very helpful when you've got something really important to communicate to your audience. Well, somebody who's very good at communicating important information to their audience is Naomi Beeshavel.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I try. I'm not always successful, but I do try to listen to a lot of information myself. And so I try to listen for what kinds of things grab my attention so that I can try to use those same techniques. So, for example, we have a lot of guest speakers in our morning meetings here at Studio Classroom. Mm-hmm. So some of them you notice that you're listening a little more carefully, and some of them you notice that you're dozing off a little bit. And so to pay attention to what makes a difference there, I think, is really helpful.
You've had the opportunity, Naomi, to speak in front of groups on many occasions. Have you walked away from some of them thinking, boy, that was a real bomb I just laid on everybody. That was terrible.
Well, it can be really hard. I get pretty bad stage fright, actually, when I'm speaking in front of a group of people. And so my mind goes a little blank, and it can be very hard for me to think, okay, did I do a good job or not? Did they get it or not? Because I'm just so focused on getting the words out of my mouth. So I do have to ask around and say, okay, what worked, what didn't? Mm-hmm. And I have noticed the more often you add a little story to things to drive home a point, the better it sticks, I think, in your mind.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Catherine Huff is also here. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah. Have you had an opportunity to give many presentations in front of groups?
Well, I've only ever had to do that in university. And just like Naomi, I also get terrible, terrible stage fright, and my mind goes blank. So just like in this story, I really rely on PowerPoint slides. So I think I should learn storytelling, or how to just tell a little story for some people.
Okay, listeners, I hope you are hearing all of this and you find some companionship in your nervousness before your next speech, because yes, even studio classroom teachers get nervous before they get up in front of people. So it's very normal to get nervous before you give a speech or a presentation. So everybody does. And it's just a matter of practice and doing it often, getting used to it, right?
That's a huge part of it. Another thing is to be well prepared. And so that's a big part of what we're talking about today, is trying to prepare in such a way that your speech or your presentation will be exciting to listen to. The other thing is to just keep breathing. I have to remind myself. No, really, because when I stand up in front of a group, I'll often get shaky because I get very nervous. Yeah. And so the more I remind myself to just slow down and breathe, the better I do and the more relaxed and in control I feel.
You know, I was watching a TED Talk video about that, why people choke up, athletes, right? And we could relate this to speakers. And there is there's a physiological connection, for instance, the not breathing properly, and then also increased heart rate. And with those two things, we are more likely to make mistakes. And so what you're saying is just make sure you take your time, pace yourself, pause, breathe, and if you can lower your heart rate, and that will actually prevent mistakes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, the point here isn't just about public speaking. The point is, why are you giving this presentation? And I think that's important to remember. Sometimes we get so caught up in, I have to say this and I have to say that. We forget the objective, the goal of what we're doing. And this comes right back to our title today, Tell Your Tale to Get Others Energized. You're not just standing up there in front of this room to talk for just because you can. You're trying to inspire other people and encourage them and get them excited about the topic that you feel excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we focus too much on ourselves. What about me? How am I going to do? Do I look right? Do I sound right? Mm-hmm. And we really lose touch with the audience.
Yeah.
So.
When I teach public speaking, that's my number one thing. At least every other class, I'll stop and say, what's the most important thing in public speaking? And my class goes, the audience.
Well, yeah, Catherine, I asked you if you'd given many speeches, but I know you've probably listened to many speeches. And what is a turnoff for you?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said earlier, statistics. If someone just throws so many numbers at me, I get lost in it and I end up tuning out and I can't pay attention. So I always like it when a speaker reels us back in with a short story.
Okay.
That helps
me. Reels us back in.
Brings me back. Gets my attention back to them.
Okay. Yeah.
It's almost like they're fishing for your attention. And so if they can hook you with a story, they bring you in.
Catherine's a fish on a line. And the speaker reels her back in, pulls her back in. All right. Well, let's do this. We'll have two readings today, listeners. Our first reading will be all of the text there on page 24.
Tell your tale to get others energized. Storytelling isn't just for children. A good anecdote can empower employees. In Lead with a Story, Procter & Gamble, P&G, Director of Consumer and Communications Research, Paul Smith describes his first presentation to P&G's executive committee, including CEO Alan Laffey. Presenting directly to the committee is a rare privilege, and Smith wanted to make the best of his allotted 20 minutes. He carefully prepared slides that would support the recommendation he hoped would get approved. To Smith's dismay, Laffey chose a place at the conference table that was directly below the screen. To see the slideshow, Laffey would have to turn completely around and look up. Choosing not to tell the CEO of P&G where to sit, Smith pushed forward with his presentation. Never once did Laffey turn around and look at the slides flashing above his head, but instead kept his eyes on Smith the entire time. The presentation ended, the recommendation was approved, but Smith left the room confused and disconcerted by the CEO's reaction. Suddenly, he had an epiphany. Laffey wasn't looking at my slides because he knew something that I didn't know until that moment, Smith writes. He knew if I had anything important to say, I would say it. It would come out of my mouth, not from that screen.
Okay, tell your tale to get others energized. And what does the deck say there, Catherine?
It says, storytelling isn't just for children, but a good anecdote can empower employees.
Okay, anecdote.
It is a short story. It's quick. It's interesting to listen to. People like them.
Usually personal, something that we can pull out of our own history and really relate to the audience better. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, we can do what to these people?
We can empower them. And if you empower somebody, it means you're giving them this special amount of strength where they just feel like they can do anything.
Okay. All right. Going to get them pumped up and have them enjoy the talk and also feel like they can achieve things. Certainly in the business world, you want to do that. Now, we start out by learning about this book, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about a book called Lead with a Story. And in here, the Procter & Gamble Director of Communications Research describes a presentation he gave to a committee, including the CEO of the committee.
Okay. That's Paul Smith. His picture's right there. And he works for Procter & Gamble, P&G, actually one of the world's best-run companies. They're always in the top 10 as far as their management and their marketing. It is an excellent company, high achievers there.
And a big company. If you look at your average products around the house, you'll notice it's one of the big ones where if you pay attention, you'll see that P&G symbol all around.
Yeah. They may not be as glitzy and glamorous and exciting as maybe Apple or Google or some of the other companies that we often talk about, but Procter & Gamble has led their industry for about 50 years, and they continue to do it by having outstanding people working there and then also outstanding business strategies. So this is a top-notch company, and Paul Smith has got a very responsible position.
Yes. Now let's talk a bit about that for a second. He's Director of Consumer and Communications Research. So in other words, it's his job to understand how things are being sold, what the consumer thinks. Is everyone understanding each other? Does everyone understand the products? What's working when it comes to marketing? What isn't? And so on. So it's a very important position. He needs to understand how the consumers are relating to these products.
Yeah. And so here's a guy who, I mean, it's his job to communicate. And so you can bet he's pretty good at it, has a lot of experience. And yet even he has situations that he struggles in, and we'll find that through this narrative as we progress through it. So he is giving a presentation to P&G's executive committee. These are going to be the top officers. This is not their board of directors. These are the top managers at the company. And speaking of top managers, who was there?
Well, we have the CEO, Alan Laffley. So that sounds very intimidating.
Certainly.
Right. When we talk about the first presentation with the CEO, you know, it reminds me of the first time I sat down in Doris's office, and it freaked me out a little bit. I was nervous. I mean, this is a very well-known person, very well-respected. Mm-hmm. And so to give any kind of presentation in front of someone like that, you want to do a really good job.
Sure. And this is his first presentation, so maybe he was new into the position as the director of that department. And then not only is the CEO there, but all these other high-ranking VPs are there. And there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on every single word this guy says. He's the new kid on the block, and we're not going to cut him much slack. And if he makes a mistake, we're going to let him know about it. So he's pretty nervous. And now it is a rare opportunity, right?
Right. It says that presenting is a rare privilege, so it doesn't get to happen very often. And Smith wanted to make the best of his allotted 20 minutes. So he wanted to take advantage of the time that he was given, the allotted time.
Okay. They had scheduled him for 20 minutes, allotted him. I like that. I like that number. I like that number.
It's a boundary.
Companies, all companies should have a number behind, okay, how long is this person going to talk? Okay, let's not leave this thing open-ended because we've all been there where these people just keep talking and talking and talking.
Right, and I think one of the reasons why they do this is because it is a rare privilege. It's an unusual gift to have this time with this committee. They don't have a lot of time. So within their meetings, they need to keep it very, very tightly packed. That being said, it's also just a wise strategy. You know, even if they weren't so busy, it's a good idea to say, hey, here's our limits. We can only pay attention to you for so long before we need to do something else. So 20 minutes is all he has been given. So, of course, he prepared very, very carefully.
Okay. And what did he prepare?
He was preparing his slides for his recommendation. So it was some sort of PowerPoint presentation that people had information to look at.
Okay. All right. So you can imagine Paul Smith is there probably several nights prior to this, working at home late at night on his laptop, putting this thing together.
Right. He has a recommendation, a plan that he is really hoping this committee will say, yes, that's a great idea. We want to go with it. Okay. So he's trying to present it in the best possible way.
All right. He's got it all put together, but...
Well, it says, to Smith's dismay, Laffley chose a place at the conference table directly below the screen. So the big guy, the CEO, sat below his screen so he couldn't even see the presentation.
Dismay.
Like disappointment, surprise, just what kind of, he's probably thinking, what are you doing?
Right. And we use this phrase quite often. If we come across a situation that really sort of shocks us and makes us nervous and scared and disappointed, we could say, to my dismay, yeah, there wasn't any left, or there I was the last person in line, or whatever. So to his dismay, because remember, he spent so much time on these slides, he was excited for everyone to see them. And so when the CEO himself turned his back on the projector, he went, uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine. Here he's getting ready. He's excited. He's greeting all these VPs that come into the room. The CEO sits underneath the screen with his back to the screen. And all of a sudden, he's got about 60 seconds to figure out, okay, what is plan B? What do I do here? And it's not easy to think on your feet like that and figure out a good solution. He didn't, you know, there's some things he didn't want to do.
Well, okay, here's the thing. If you give a PowerPoint presentation, you should always be prepared for it to not work out because, mm-hmm, you know, technology fails sometimes. So you should never be totally reliant on your PowerPoint. But in this case, the PowerPoint is working. But it's just that to see the slideshow, the CEO would have to turn around completely and look up. So other people in the room can see it. It's just this guy is choosing not to look at it. So now Smith has a choice. What does he do? Does he tell the CEO, sir, you'll be able to see better if you sit over here? It's a tough call.
Well, what, I don't know. What would you have done, Catherine?
I probably would not have said anything because that's the CEO of the company and you would never want to tell them what to do.
That's what Paul Smith did,
exactly,
right? We see line 4 and 5.
Yes, that's true. He chose not to tell the man where to sit and pushed forward with his presentation. So he continued by pushing forward.
Okay. He's like, well, okay, well, this guy's not going to see it. And did Laffley see any of the slides?
Never once did Laffley turn around and look at the slides flashing above his head. So other people are seeing the slides, but the CEO, the key guy here, is just looking directly at Smith and just listening to the words he's saying.
Okay. He missed all those beautiful slides that Paul Smith put together.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. The CEO is looking at Smith, and he's watching him the entire time. All right. Now we see in line 10, what happened?
Well, the presentation ended and his recommendation was approved, but Smith was very confused. It says, confused and disconcerted by the reaction.
Okay. Now, the first part of this sentence, Smith had his recommendation. We don't know what it is, but after his presentation, they would have talked about it and they said, okay, approve or not approve. They approved it. All right, goal achieved. But Smith was confused.
Right. He still kind of left the room with a bad taste in his mouth, we might say. He sort of walked out going, what happened? Why didn't he want to see my beautiful slides? I worked so hard.
Yeah.
And we see that word disconcerted, which is a great word.
Love that word.
I use it often because sometimes something happens that just – we might say it throws us off our game.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling really comfortable and confident, and then something happens, and suddenly it's like we've got one tire going the wrong way, you know? Like there's just something a little bit off, and it kind of bugs us and gets to us.
Yeah.
And that's how he felt. He said, well, it worked, but why didn't he want to see my slides?
Yeah, okay. I would think synonyms might be baffled or even dumbfounded. You're walking out, and you're thinking, what happened there? I don't quite understand everything. But then suddenly
he had an epiphany. So an epiphany is when you suddenly understand, you realize what the problem was and what happened.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it's always good to get epiphanies. They help us understand.
Right. Sometimes we almost think of an epiphany as being like a sudden moment of clarity, you know? Something just sort of comes to you and you go, that's it.
Music plays, the sun comes out.
So that's exactly what happened to Paul Smith. There he is walking down the hallway. Why didn't he want to see my slides?
Yeah.
And then suddenly he stops and goes, oh, well, he wasn't looking because he knew something that I didn't know.
Okay. He realized the CEO had something that he knew about that Paul Smith wasn't thinking about. And Smith continues.
He said, he knew if I had anything important to say, I would say it. It would come from his mouth, not from the screen.
Aha. Wow, that is an epiphany. And actually, there are many experienced business people that never get this.
Right.
Never get it.
This is another of my key points when I teach public speaking. I always say, you are the star of your presentation. Your PowerPoint can support you, but they're the supporting actor. You are the star. So it has to be focused on you first.
Okay. All right. Great point. We'll talk more about this as we continue through this, but let's continue with our second reading.
In the age when presentation and communications technology has enabled fancier graphics and flashier shows, the ancient art of storytelling is making a comeback, even at the highest levels of multinational corporations. From Microsoft, Nike, and Motorola, to Southwest Airlines, FedEx, and of course, P&G, major corporations are intentionally using storytelling as a key leadership tool, Smith writes. Kimberly Clark has two-day seminars to teach a 13-step program for crafting stories and building presentations around them. P&G has hired Hollywood directors to teach its senior executives storytelling techniques. The power of a great story can do more than inspire. It can lead to action.
Naomi made a good point right before our reading about speakers relying too much on PowerPoint presentations, right?
Right. I've noticed that people, they make these fancy graphics and everything's animated and it's so exciting that they think what they say isn't such a big deal. They focus so much on preparing that slide that they forget to spend time on making their speech great.
Yeah. I have seen some presentations, too, that are like really slick as far as the PowerPoints, and things are sliding across and popping up, and there's some videos thrown in and some audios, and there's 1,000 pictures, and I'm just like, and I end up lost. So, and the speakers ends up lost also. So, and this is because we live in an age when presentation and communications technology has done what?
Well, it has enabled fancier graphics and flashier shows. So it's made it possible for, like Naomi just said, these presentations to be so over the top with a ton of different things to look at that the viewer gets completely lost.
Yeah, flashier is an adjective we use a lot of times. When I think of flashier, I'm thinking of maybe like a Super Bowl halftime show or something with spotlights flashing and
if something's
explosions.
Yeah, very flashy. Then it's expensive, stylish, brightly colored, very, very noticeable, even distracting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in fact, it's been distracting us from the ancient art of
storytelling. I love storytelling. It's fun. It's interesting. And when you hear someone who is a great storyteller telling you about something that's happened, you are captivated. You completely just pay attention. We have someone on our staff who's a great storyteller. And when I go to lunch with him and he tells a story, I'm always captivated, even when I've heard it before, because he does voices and he uses volume and he's so expressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember it. So, and thinking about that Lincoln the movie, the one thing I took away from that was Lincoln's storytelling ability. It was just amazing. So, but now we're talking about at the highest level of multinational corporations, storytelling is making a comeback. So, and we see some companies listed there, right?
Right. We see Microsoft, Nike, Motorola, Southwest Airlines, FedEx, and of course, Procter & Gamble, many, many corporations.
Okay. What are they doing?
They are using storytelling as a key leadership tool.
Okay.
And actually, I was reading earlier that some of these companies are hiring someone that's literally a storyteller for their company, and he runs these leadership things for them.
They're doing this intentionally. They have decided, hey, this is a good idea to teach these people how to do it.
Right. And this is a word. It's a bit of a buzzword, actually. It's been around for a long time, to be intentional about something.
Mm-hmm.
But we hear it a lot now, even in our personal lives. We might say, well, I'm trying to be more intentional about getting up early to exercise or about, you know, whatever, wearing comfortable shoes on a busy day. The idea that you are putting a lot of focus into something, you are really using your mind to pay attention to it.
Okay, I'm going to try and work the word intentional more into my vocabulary so I can sound hip.
Be intentional about that.
Yeah. All right. Kimberly Clark Paper Company has two-day seminars to teach a 13-step program for doing what?
For crafting stories and building presentations around them. So they're teaching people how to tell stories and use those stories in their presentations.
And you had just mentioned, Catherine, that you've read about some consultants actually being hired to teach people how to tell stories.
Right. I mean, just a little bit, but I guess they bring in these people. Like our story says, Procter & Gamble has hired Hollywood directors to teach the executives storytelling techniques.
Wow.
Wow. Steven Spielberg is here today to teach everybody how to be dramatic.
That's being very intentional, for sure. They're saying, you know, a story, telling a story can be very, very powerful. So let's try to do it in the best way we can.
And why are they doing this?
The power of a great story can do more than inspire. Now, we talked about empowering people, and inspiring kind of is a little weaker than empower. Inspiring just makes them feel good about doing something, but it can actually lead to action. It can make them move forward and take steps towards something.
Mm. Do you find that when you hear maybe a good speaker, like in our mornings?
Sure. Also, I think about at church, when I go to church and I hear a sermon, you know, the whole idea could be great, but if I don't hear a story, it doesn't always stick with me. And so I sort of forget some of the concepts that I've heard. But if I hear a good story, then I remember it throughout the week.
Well, I was going to say what these companies seem to have realized is that if they want a change, their employees aren't going to make that change unless they have some sort of inspiration to do that. Mm. So I think that's one of the key things with storytelling.
I think like we watch videos or we have speakers, and what I remember the most are the stories that the speakers tell of their own experience that ties in their concepts with real life. So you can talk about great concepts about integrity or character or creativity, but then it doesn't stick until that person gives the specific example. Then you go, then that's the thing you remember. Listeners, thanks for joining us here for day one of Tell Your Tale to Get Others Energized. We'll look for you tomorrow. Bye-bye.